In America, we did. I remember a story a couple of weeks ago about all the polls that have been done recently. That definitely is picking up steam.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in Wyoming, when he ran, I went there for the primary, and I thought, you know, who's going to support Bernie Sanders? This place is so red. I mean, it was a struggle with Charlie, and we went there, and Bernie he went and spoke, and it was amazing how many people came out of the woodwork and how many people supported him in a very red state. Mm-hmm. His message is really resonating. So you never know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Reed Lindsay, thank you for coming in today and talking to us about your film.
Thank you. Appreciate Thanks so much.
Thank you. Okay.
KBOO's Fall Drive Daily Prize Drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the daily prize drawing. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance of winning. The prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day, evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household will be accepted each day. Winner will be determined in a random drawing daily between the hours of 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. Winner may be notified by telephone the following day. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions, and for the name of the winner, go to kboo.fm/fall-daily-prize. And thank you!
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Musubi, located 2134 Southeast Division Street, Portland's takeout spot for Hawaiian sushi rice snacks filled with house-made spam and other delicacies. Dinner was provided by Santa Fe Taqueria, located 831 Northwest 23rd Avenue in Portland, serving the taste and flavors of Santa Fe derived from Puebla, Mexico. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
This week on Making Contact, we focus our show on different community efforts to reclaim economic agency. It's a response for critical survival, especially in communities historically left behind by economic institutions. I'm your host, RJ Lozada. We're along a main drag in Oakland, California, called International Boulevard. It's part of the neighborhood called Lower San Antonio. The demographic is historically blue-collar, migrant, people of color, queer, and trans. So you've got mom and pop shops like Lao and Vietnamese restaurants. You've got auto mechanics and other small services. You've got homes with facades full of age and character. And then there's a set of spaces that line a small area of 23rd and International. And Eri Oda of Cycles of Change and Devi Peacock of Liberating Ourselves Locally and Peacock Rebellion are taking me around. It's four storefronts and eight apartments on the second story. They share a large swath of land in the back, which is used for farming and gardening.
He's been here a minute.
It's big.
Yeah. An interesting story is that this space, this lot right here, used to be a dry cleaning facility. And so as we're going through inspections and stuff to buy the building, one of the red flags that came up was the fact that this was a dry cleaning facility. And so they wanted to test the toxicity of the soil.
Oh.
So they went down 25 feet. They were like trying to figure out like if there's any toxic chemicals still left from it. And like through that whole process, I was like, the power of the plum tree, the power of the plum tree. Look how huge it is. It's got to be that huge under the ground. And so, you know, it's got to be like taking out all the toxins. I mean, over the years, and the inspections actually came out pretty clean.
That's kind of a little miracle just because dry cleaning's like got toxic abrasive
chemicals. Yeah, hella toxic.
So the landlord of the set of storefronts and apartments was planning to put the property up for sale. But before she did, she sent an email out to the residents and organizations. But instead of giving them a heads up for a possible eviction, she invited them to consider purchasing the property and land. So after some quick thinking, the groups organized a short crowdfunding campaign and raised close to $90,000. A significant portion of that was put forward as a down payment for the properties. Here's Eddie.
Similar to Devi, I felt really excited and happy and supported by community and lifted up, really, like, lifted up. And at the same time, it's like, well, this is only phase one. We still got to figure out self-management, which, you know, if we want to be realistic about, like, what that will take, it will either take a lot of volunteering on the part of residents or we raise funds so that we can pay ourselves to do this stuff, which I think is possible. I think it's important for us to sustain ourselves, especially given like most folks here are low income.
And on top of that, they'll need to prepare for cooperative ownership and management. Yet Eddie and Devi are hopefully and justifiably optimistic.
You know, we're a unified force of people. And I think this piece around like interdependence is like, no, we really need each other. That's not just lip service. Like, we actually really need each other. Like, how many times, like, you know, in these things, like Eddie, like, how many times was I like crying at the end and being like, how are we going to do this? But it's like, it's true. It's like, you know, like thinking about the really long-term picture, it's like, you know, 10, 20 years from now, like, we're going to own the building. Like, we're going to own the building, you know, and the land is going to be in community forever. Absolutely. There have been these moments where I'm like, can we really pull this off? Like, you know, being like, can we really pull this off? This whole real estate world, it's like, they're so complex that it's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. This system was set up for us to never be able to access it. Mm-hmm. You know, this has been set up to destroy us. Absolutely. There are allies who've come, you know, to be, and like getting clarity on like, who are folks who want to jump on to something because it seems shiny or sexy. And then, but who are the folks who actually are really, or who want to be a savior versus the people who are like in solidarity. And I will say that like with Steve and the Oakland Community Land Trust, they were very much about like, no, we're in solidarity. We want to hear what is the, like, take leadership from the people on the block about how we want to do things. And that is like develop, you know, taking the years to like develop our collective leadership model. We're going to take our time to figure that out. They're going to give us some support. You know, we can't rush in all the time because we also, they have to have time to build the relationships of trust with each other.
To find out more information on the liberation of 23rd Avenue, go to our website at radioproject.org. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Making Contact. Today, we're visiting community-rooted enterprises where people are rethinking power and participation in their lives. Collective housing and cultural co-ops, land trusts, and community banks are providing fundamental shifts in our workplaces and living spaces. To connect hundreds of these efforts, networks have emerged. The New Economy Coalition brings together groups that value environmental sustainability and racial justice, along with community ownership. In May of 2017, the New Economy Coalition held a panel discussion in Chicago about building alternative economic institutions as part of a broader movement strategy. We bring you some excerpts from that discussion. You'll first hear from Amara Enya, who is a public policy expert on city and state policies, especially regarding education and economic development, and in 2015, ran for mayor in Chicago.
So it was interesting. I didn't know it was a new economy platform at the time I was running. So now there's a label or a name that I can attach to the policies that I was putting forth when I ran. So I ran for mayor of Chicago in the 2015 election cycle. I was the first person that came out to challenge the incumbent. Had never run for political office before. Ever. Didn't really work on too many campaigns, really hardly any, but had worked in the mayor's office under the previous administration, and through that vantage point had really seen, and was very intentional about working there because I wanted to understand who was making these decisions. Who's making these decisions? Why is it that the city is operating the way that it is? And so for me, you go into, I guess, the belly of the beast, and you learn. And you study so that you can understand how to dismantle that very system that you know doesn't work. I really didn't even care about this mayor because it's not about the person. You just represent a certain system and a philosophy and a worldview. But the best way to counter that is to put forth tangible alternatives. So it's not enough for me to just say, well, you know, we don't have jobs. Okay. That's like you go into a restaurant and say, I'm hungry. What are you going to get, right? They'll ask you, well, what do you want? So a lot of the policies that I put forth, I talked about worker-owned cooperatives. Because if you don't expand the economic ecosystem, we will never move forward and have the kind of economy that is inclusive and that would actually support this city. And it's not because it's in just my best interest or even the interest of communities of color. It's actually in the best interest of the city as a whole, of the region. And we have to make that point, right? So a lot of, when we talk about many of these things, whether it's worker-owned co-ops or a financial transaction tax, who would imagine that making sure that we cut down on the detrimental high-frequency trading that crashed the economy and actually making them pay their fair share of taxes would actually help what we call the billions of dollars in budget shortfall that we have. But it seems so far-fetched when you look at it from the mainstream. When I talk about a public bank, who would imagine a financial institution that actually works for taxpayers, the goal is actually economic development?
All right, this is Lady Monte. You are right in the middle of the KBOO Pledge Drive. It's Tuesday, September 26th, and I want to let you know that if you become a member right now, you will be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is for 6 pairs of main stage shows from Portland Center Stage at the Armory. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive. Call 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. You can also go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions. Now, this program we're listening to is very informative. And between shows like Disability Awareness, Cutie Pop Talk, The Food Show, Pacific Underground, and Black Book Talk, and many more, you know more about a wide variety of topics that impact you and the people around you. There's something here that speaks to you, and we want to continue speaking to you. Help us in this work. We want to bring this programming to you every evening, every Tuesday evening. So go ahead and call 877-500-5266, or you can go to kboo.fm and click on the word donate. And as soon as you make a contribution of $120 for the whole year, that's just 10 bucks a month, we would love to say thank you with a pair of voucher a pair of vouchers to this upcoming show at the Portland Center Stage Armory called Fun Home. And it's based on a book by the famous Alice Bechdel. And it's a really great story about her father being raised in a funeral home. Sorry, she's raised in a funeral home. Her father is coming out as a gay individual. And it's about that journey. And it's about her experience. It sounds like great programming, great community that we love to support, especially in the theater and the arts. Call toll-free 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on the word donate. Once again, we're looking for a minimum contribution of $120 to pick up those tickets to the Armory. And guess what? We've only got a goal for $150 this show, so let's make it happen. Somebody score some ticks. We'll be going back to our programming right now. One more time, that number is 877-500-5266.
And that it's possible. And that there are examples that work elsewhere. Why wouldn't we push for that? These are the things that I was talking about back in 2013, 2014, as, you know, the 30-year-old chick from the West Side, who doesn't believe that we should be afraid to challenge a system and systems that don't work. But what made it difficult and what I found myself doing was educating people. The exposure is really the first step. So I knew how I felt about cooperative economic models, but you have to translate that to people who have never been familiar with the concept. So my campaigning was less about why I'm the best person and more about how do I empower people? How do we empower ourselves so that we articulate what models are best for this city? And how do we make sure that we demonstrate that this isn't some charity project, that we're not asking for programmatic enhancements, and I'm using typical public policy jargon, programmatic enhancements, because it's out of the benevolence of those in leadership. But we have to prove that when you've lost 200,000 residents in 10 years, 180,000 of whom were black, you've lost a significant portion of your tax base. So when you're talking about how broke you are, think about all the homeowners that are no longer here. When the redlining continues with traditional banks, so you can't start your small business, how many people are not hired in our communities because that small business, that entrepreneur couldn't open their small business? And you're not getting the tax revenue from those businesses. So we have to think about not just the human element, but if you can't even make the human argument that this is actually good for us as people, at the very least you make the fiscal argument of why we have to move in this direction. There's a certain level of education and exposure that has to take place so that when the next candidate who comes along says something about a housing cooperative or a land trust, people's eyes aren't glazed over. You actually have people who have heard about it and who can be excited about it and who recognize that this isn't necessarily just about the person. It's about the quality of life of the residents of the city. And so that actually paves the way for other candidates. I recognized, and I said earlier that, you know, I was raised a certain way, so the idea of challenging the mayor, it didn't seem extraordinary to me. I live in Garfield Park. So the issues that you know happen in Chicago, when I walk outside my door every single day, I'm faced with. And I have a certain level of intolerance and a certain level of impatience about how things are and why things are the way they are. And that intolerance and that impatience compels me to do something within the realm of what my purpose is, which happens to be in the space of public policy and apparently politics, because I was never the aspirational politician. I wasn't even a great campaigner, I don't think. But that's the space that I was thrust into. But I always said, imagine if we had whole communities where you had people who running for mayor wasn't extraordinary, especially for girls that look like me, for young people who are constantly getting the reinforced message that they are not valued, They get it every day, whether it's through the vacant buildings on the block, the vacant homes, the rejections for access to capital, the shutting down of their schools, of all of the anchor institutions in their communities. Every single day they get a message that reinforces the fact that they are not valued here and that they don't have power. But imagine if they believed that they had power. Imagine the same level of intolerance to the status quo. That's what a movement is. And so it was never about me. I just play my role. I play my part. But the more people are exposed to the concepts that we're talking about here and the alternatives that they can put forth, as opposed to just accepting what they tell us is possible.
Harper Bishop is a member of Open Buffalo in upstate New York. Open Buffalo is a collaboration between several diverse groups and allies. They run initiatives directly addressing recidivism, local economic development, and leadership. In the following clip, Bishop responds to working outside the nonprofit industrial complex.
That I wanted to answer this in a very specific way. I thought about earlier today, and first of all, as a white person, it's important that I explicitly always state that Black Lives Matter, and they do. And I live my life as such, and I organize as such, and so that's just really important. And so one of the things that we had talked about was, you know, where we're hearing significant, silence right now is from both the establishment of politics and the power structure. And right now in Buffalo, there is a significant conversation happening about police brutality. And it's more than a conversation. In the last 100 days in Buffalo, there are two Black men who have died in the hands of the BPD, and their names should be hashtags at this point. The only difference is that you don't know their names. Wardell Meach Davis, who died in police custody, and then very recently, Jose Hernandez actually died literally at the hands of the Buffalo Police Department. And so when we talk about coalition building and structures and the build-out of ecosystems, there are things that I can't do at my 9-to-5 at Open Buffalo because of power structures, because of social capital, because of philanthropic obligations. And I'm pretty straightforward about the fact that that's true. We do have a campaign for justice and opportunity, and that it is addressing some of these issues, but it's reformist at best, right? And there are a lot of young, radical people of color who are ready to make moves. And we need them to make moves, honestly. And Just Resisting is an ecosystem that's being built out, and that they've done direct actions on the mayor during his State of the City and have brought this forth to him. And so there's also organizations like Queers for Racial Justice, which I hope to co-found, and Showing Up for Racial Justice, which is a national organization that organizes white people for racial justice. They're also jumping into this conversation, and they're not waiting for the Open Buffaloes and the 501c3s and all those and philanthropic dollars to follow them. They're working outside of the system. They're expanding the system, and quite frankly, they make my job a lot easier, because when the mayor gets to decide whether or not he wants to step forward, he looks at my proposal, he looks at their proposal, and my proposal becomes a lot more palatable, and just quite frankly, and he knows that wherever he goes at this point, that he's going to be shouted down by a lot of people. And so whereas I respect everything that's been talked about in the resist build, I think that it's a simultaneously happening that we have people who are out there on the streets resisting and calling out the powers to be where they need to. And then we have folks who are also offering long-term solutions, like I just talked about, the community land trust, which will exist, you know, for generations to come. And so that work both needs to happen, knowing when we go hard on one or when someone else is playing a different role and a different role, and actually not fighting on that, but saying we're doing complementary things, and that we're building this out together and being strategic, and we're talking to one another about how this might move forward. I think that that is something I want to bring to a national audience, because in Buffalo we really need your assistance in calling out the fact that we, you know, that there are two young Black men who are not part of my community tonight.
Julia Ho came to represent Solidarity Economy St. Louis, a network of groups and individuals focused on growing and practicing a solidarity economic framework, espousing justice, self-determination, and other values that run counter to a model that pits people and groups against each other. Here, Julia sets the backdrop, starting with Ferguson.
I guess important context for the organizing in St. Louis, aside from the Ferguson uprising, which most people are aware of, but people, I think mainstream media was very conscious about separating the issues that were happening in Ferguson to the St. Louis area and not recognizing the history of the fact that St. Louis is one of the most, I'll say, openly racially segregated cities in the country, most starkly racially segregated cities in the country, and also has a strong, you know, legacy of resistance, and also of thriving black communities and thriving black neighborhoods, which were in some ways destroyed by white flight and also by integration.
And you are listening to Making Contact, again, another piece of programming here on the airwaves at KBOO that we bring to you through community support, just like you. My name is Lady Monte. Today is Tuesday, September 26th, and I want to let you know that if you become a member right now, you will be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is for 6 pairs of main stage shows from Portland Center Stage at the Armory. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive, so call 877-500-5266 now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions. And this is a great episode of Making Contact. I'm really enjoying the conversation and the dialogue, especially about the radical approaches they are taking to social justice, working outside of the system, working outside of 501c3s and the nonprofits that you typically see approaching the issues that definitely need to be dealt with today in our society. You explore radical approaches to problem solving and making the world a better place with KBOO. You'll know that your membership helps make this kind of programming possible and that you'll inspire others to do the same. This program you're listening to is on the air because thousands of people started their memberships throughout last year's drives and it adds up. So call 877-500-5266 or go to kboo.fm and click on the word donate. While I am talking about memberships and adding up, I want to go ahead and give some shouts out to Harry from Milwaukee and Ray from Lake Oswego. Thank you both so much for renewing your memberships and keeping this programming and this community movement going for some more months and another year. We really appreciate that. And we want other people to call in and follow their lead. 877-500-5266. Or you can go to kboo.fm and click on the word donate. We've got a $150 goal for tonight, and we're partway to making our goal already. That's pretty great. We still got about $100 to go, but we want to go past that goal if we can. We want to surpass it. And so if you come in with a yearly contribution of $120, that's only $10 a month, we would love to say thank you with a theater musical that's coming to town called Fun Home. It's based on the graphic novel by Alice Bechdel, who's famous for their cartoons and coming up with the Bechdel test. And this Fun Home theatrical performance has won a Tony. It started out on Broadway. And it's a great story about being raised in a funeral home and growing up in that community and, you know, experiencing their father being raised by a father who's a closeted gay man. I'm sure there must be some interesting perspectives in that piece of art. And since it's Portland, we love to support art, especially if it's in a dark room. You know, we can just explore and soak in the experience. So call 877-500-5266 and pick up those tickets for yourself right now. At the same time, if you do that, you'll be entered into a drawing to get 6 more pairs of main stage shows from the Portland Center Stage Armory. Can you believe that? I love that place. They're always representing the community. They're showcasing community talent, community movements, and they're a great partner with KBOO. And so we're very excited to offer you the chance to win those 6 pairs of main stage shows, those tickets to the main stage armory. And also, we want to tempt you with that thank you gift for a minimum donation of $120 to go see Fun Home. This is a great show. You don't want to miss it. Call 877-500-5266 or you can go to kboo.fm and click on the word donate. You promote cross-pollination between diverse social movements simply by providing a space for activists like Alice Bechdel and these programmers here inside KBOO to share their work. That space is KBOO. Your membership serves you and thousands of others with learning, culture, information, and liberated entertainment. KBOO does matter to you. Your support matters to KBOO, and it takes just a few minutes to join this media revolution. You can go to kboo.fm and click on the word donate. We're also asking you to call toll-free 877-500-5266. And another option is you could come on down and grab yourself a cup of coffee. We got some donuts. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Street, and we love having visitors. We want to see you. You're our community, and we're yours. So come on in with your contribution and say hey, grab a cup of coffee, chill, and talk to our volunteers here ready to answer your phones, 877-500-5266. And we're talking about so many ways to take in media. You can also download the KBOO app. That's one thing you can do. There's a donate option there. And it sounds like there's so much of online music and apps happening. If you support KBOO, not only will you be paying about the same that you would for a subscription service online to music, but you would be supporting this community. 877-500-5266. You can also go to kboo.fm and click on the word donate. Again, we're looking for that minimum contribution of $120 for the year, and that will score you a pair of vouchers to go see Fun Home, a great show from Broadway. You don't want to miss it. Just a little bit more information. The music is by Janine Tesori, books and lyrics by Lisa Cron, and again, that's based on the graphic novel by Alice Bechdel. One last time, call 877-500-5266, or you can go to KBOO and click on the word donate.
By White Flight, and also by Integration. And so all of that to say is that our work in St. Louis has shifted in so many different ways over the last 3 years. To be honest and perfectly upfront with you guys, like, our very first iteration of Solidarity Economy St. Louis was an outgrowth of a project of a kind of the post-ACORN organization St. Louis called More Missourians Organizing for Reform and Empowerment, which at that point had been primarily a direct action organization focused at the intersection of climate, racial, economic justice, but really worked to support movement moments. So, you know, the foreclosure crisis in 2008, Occupy in 2011, and then, of course, the Ferguson uprising in 2014. And so as a project within that, one of the first, our very first iteration of Solidarity Economy St. Louis was really it was a bunch of 20, 30-something white people working on environmental and sustainability nonprofits. And very quickly, you know, we made a decision that that was not the direction that we wanted to go in. And so what we shifted our work to do was to actually support campaigns that were fighting the criminalization of poverty, which in St. Louis is sort of one of the most visible ways that's manifested, is that people are routinely locked in cages for not having enough money to pay a fine for a traffic violation, or a, you know, very simple, or part of the fragmentation of the St. Louis region results in the fact that we have 91 independently governed municipalities in our county, one of which is Ferguson. And so you think about what happened in Ferguson, there are 90 other Fergusons very nearby, and which very much have the same issues. And so you're talking about 90 municipalities that have their own police department, that have their own court system. And if you're a person who has to drive through those municipalities to get to work, you have the potential to get like 5 tickets for the same thing on your way to work and on your way back. And you miss one of your court dates, you got a warrant. So that was the issue that we really propelled ourselves into. And that was just a few months before Mike Brown was killed, before this sort of got launched into a national issue. And so that's where our work evolves from. That's the context of what we do. And I think now, coming up on almost 3 years after that, we're in a very, I think, a natural evolution of that moment, where we are working to grow a network of groups of individuals, and we very intentionally define groups in a very loose way. We're not just talking about established organizations, the typical community organizations that come to coalitions. We're talking about informal collectives of people, houses of folks. We're talking about gardeners and farmers. We're talking about artist collectives, or small businesses, which are often left out of these conversations as well. And so we are very broadly defining what it means to form that community, and trying to, I think, do two very distinct things, one of which is to provide an avenue and a way for any individual who feels like they have resources and they want to align those with their values. And you're a person who knows that you're spending your money every day somewhere, and you feel like you want to spend it somewhere that, that counts. And so we want to provide an avenue for that, and we want to provide an avenue for people to build with each other on that level. But at the same time, we also need to recognize that many of the institutions in which our members want to invest in don't exist yet. And some of those, you know, I would love to be able to shop at a nearby black-owned grocery store that served like healthy, affordable, locally sourced food. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist yet. And so what we have to do is be very intentional about finding the people who are building those alternatives and investing in them. And that doesn't mean just monetary investment. It means really putting ourselves at, you know, creating some mutual risk and some mutual stake in manifesting that vision. So so we're really working to see those projects emerge. And I think where St. Louis is right now is that we're in a very interesting moment where so many of those projects are coming from all different places. And many of the Ferguson organizers or people who are really involved in that movement are now shifting towards these models of cooperative economics. And even if they're not calling it the solidarity economy, we have to be very intentional about seeking those folks out, about building relationships with them and supporting them in very tangible ways. So that's a little bit about what we're doing.
Cooperation Jackson out of Jackson, Mississippi, has an incredible history of economic justice, developed by the New African People's Organization and Malcolm X Grassroots Movement. Building upon the Jackson-Cush Plan, an agenda to generate wealth and redistribute it equitably on the principles of cooperation, sharing, solidarity, and democracy. Aya Ifolola Omobola sets the context for Cooperation Jackson.
And I'm glad that that ended up that way. So what we're doing in Jackson is looking at alternative ways of being able to provide a future for ourselves, provide a future for our city, provide a future for our country, and provide a future for our earth. And so some of the ways in which we have done this began a long time ago. There were visions that had been created to find a way for us as a people to come together to reestablish ourselves, to understand who we are, to get back in touch with our roots, to be able to understand what it was that we needed to do based on those things that we had been taught initially from conception, day one of our ancestors. And so what that entailed was learning how to work together cooperatively and be able to take our own initiatives into creating economic situations, sustainable situations, and governance as far as our people were concerned. So Cooperation Jackson was a mindset, a focus that had been long in the making. And it's actually modeled after Mondragon, Spain's cooperative movement. But it was a vision that Chokwe Lumumba, our late mayor of Jackson, Mississippi, had brought to the forefront. Upon his passing, we had a convention. We had a conference called Jackson Rising. And at that point, even though it looked as if we were not going to be able to have that conference, we were able to announce to the city and the world that Cooperation Jackson was indeed being formed, and that our platform was looking at creating worker-owner cooperatives, which are businesses where the owners operate, govern, and sustain those businesses, and to find ways of becoming a solidarity, sustainable, human rights initiative. So we worked on creating some emerging cooperatives, and at this moment we have Freedom Farms, which is a worker-owner agricultural farm that's in the back of the center. We have a Nubia's Place Cafe cafeteria, which is catering, which is a worker-owner situation that uses the produce from the farm. And then we have Green Team Cooperative, which is dealing with landscaping and composting, which uses the refuse from Nubia's Place to go to the farm. So we're beginning this model of this integral relationship that begins to show how we can become self-sustainable. These are things that we have somehow been forgotten or have been taught to forget, that we have the initiatives and the abilities to be able to do. The difficult thing about all of this is that we have been dummied down so badly that we have been taught that we have to depend on outside structure, outside governance. We have to depend on others to teach us what it means to be human, what it means to be cooperative, what it means to be take the initiative of our own to move forward. And these are the models, and these are some of the things that we're trying to set forth.
And that's it for this week's Making Contact. Have you been rethinking about your relationship to money? More specifically, are you thinking about the possibilities of participating in a co-op or seeking ways to reconcile justice and economics? Let us know. You can reach us at our website at radioproject.org. This program was produced with support from the New Economies Reporting Project, funded with a grant from the Park Foundation. Special thanks to Rachel Dixon for recording panelists in Chicago. Lisa Rudman is our executive director. Marie Che, Anita Johnson, Monica Lopez are our producers. Sabine Blazan is our audience engagement manager. And Vera Tykulsker is our development associate. I'm your host, RJ Lozada, and thank you for listening to Making Contact.
And I'm Lady Monte. I'm back. You are just finishing up listening to Making Contact. That was a great program. And before I get into a little bit more of a pitch break, I just want to let you know again that if you become a member right now, you will be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is for 6 pairs of main stage shows from the Portland Center Stage at the Armory. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive. Call 877-500-5266 right now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions. And I tell you what, folks, you are going to want to call in to participate in that drawing because guess what? We have a new member by the name of Robin who lives in Northeast Portland who called in just a moment ago and scored those awesome tickets to the Center Stage Armory to see Fun Home. Congratulations, Robin, on scooping those ticks and becoming a new member of this radio station and this community. We love having you here. That was a really great program, Making Contact. I loved what they were talking about, equipping themselves and equipping their community with tools for justice and tools for progress, you know, participating in a co-op, you know, working with each other outside of the system. And that's what we do here at KBOO. Talent is universal. Everybody's got talent at something, but opportunity is not. And just like that woman in the program was saying, like, there is a lot of obstacles in our way and a lot of training in our society that teaches us to be dependent on the system around us. But that's not what we do here at KBOO. With your help, we can break down those barriers that many people experience to media making with free broadcast training and airtime access. So we need you to call KBOO right now, 1-877-500-5266, because KBOO encourages local resiliency and bolsters community organizing. Now we're asking you to make KBOO more resilient by becoming a KBOO member. So call in 877-500-5266, or you can go to kboo.fm and click on the word donate. We've got another pair of tickets here that we'd like to tell you about. A lot of people have heard of the band March 4th. It's a marching band, electric funk, circus style music. They're a lot of fun to listen to and even more fun to see live. I've got one pair of tickets for a minimum contribution of $75 at the Alberta Rose Theater, and that's coming up on October 22nd. So you want to pick those up. That's a 21 and up show. But you want to pick those up that's a great deal. You'll be supporting local music. You'll be supporting a local venue, and you'll also be supporting KBOO Radio. You'll also be supporting yourself, because like I said, you're going to have a great time at this band no matter what. And supporting KBOO makes you feel good because it's the right thing to do. So please go online, kboo.fm, and click on the word donate, or you can call toll-free 877-500-5266. And don't forget, we want to see your face too. Come on down to the station. We're right here, right across from the Burnside Bridge, up Burnside, just a couple blocks at the 8th intersection. The address is 20 Southeast 8th Street. Just come on in. We want to see you, give you a cup of coffee, shake your hand, and we'll talk to you about what we all do here. Maybe we can get you signed up for the next volunteer orientation coming up on the 3rd. That's at 6 p.m. Coming to that orientation changed my life, and I want being a member of KBOO to change your life too. Come on in, make that connection with this community, make that connection with your own potential, and see what there is to learn and see what there is to do outside of the system and see what there is to know outside of what you've been taught. Go to kboo.fm, click on the word donate, or call toll-free 877-500-5266 right now. Again, we're looking for a minimum contribution of $75 for you to pick up those tickets to the March 4th marching band. That's on October 22nd, 2017. You know, and for 50 years almost, you've kept a unique and vital signal strong. That's our radio signal. Every day and every night with live and local programming. A real person, a friend, a neighbor is with you 24 hours a day when you tune into KBOO. Your support makes this possible. And what we're doing is we're creating a model for media organizations in order to shift the public radio paradigm to focus on our shared liberation in a thoughtful, strategic, and effective manner. Your support does make that happen. 877-500-5266, or you can donate online to kboo.fm/give. And are you new to the area? You are just becoming acquainted with KBOO, you say. You want to check it out? Well, guess what? KBOO can check out a lot of things for you and make your life so much easier. KBOO is your gateway to learning about the diverse communities and cultures of Portland and the surrounding areas. KBOO has long been an important thread in the creative fabric of the Pacific Northwest in general. KBOO is a way to connect with the people around you, figure out what's happening, and get there. Help keep KBOO healthy so we can help keep you healthy. Contribute to the long-term health of your community and become a member today. 877-500-5266. You can also go online, kboo.fm, and click on the word donate. We got those sweet tickets to the March 4th marching band. That's at the Alberta Rose Theater for a $75 minimum contribution for the whole year. And that's not much. That's only $6.25 a month. You can do it. All right. Back to our regular scheduled programming. Have a great evening.
This week on Making Contact.
This is bullying. I've seen comments from adults, not even students, adults, talking about something that they largely have no idea about. I've seen teachers that I've had, people that I've looked up to and respected, publicly denounce me.
Transgender youth and adults faced a heightened state of struggle in state houses, schools, and institutions in 2016. Much of the fight was over rules and regulations about identity and gender expression.
And I'm going to go back to San Francisco and I'm going to walk down the street and I'm going to see a lot of boys and girls, transgender boys and girls, that are hungry, that are laying in sleeping bags on the sidewalk, and I don't get it.
In this edition of Making Contact, we look at a few examples of the struggles and victories over the regulation of gender identity and expression in the U.S. Social safety nets are set up to provide for the most vulnerable populations. They may be seniors on limited incomes, long-term unemployed or underemployed, in a troubled relationship, a former inmate, or a young person on their own for the first time, any of whom may also be transgender. Reporter Larry Buell explored how social service providers in San Francisco and Los Angeles meet the needs of transgender clients, and he found that some can be more welcoming than others.
So this kind of changes from morning to afternoon. It's way more active in the morning because the computers are available.
James Morin is a program supervisor at the Los Angeles LGBT Center. He's taking me on a tour of the youth drop-in facilities.
Watch TV, they have computers.
It's new and bright and painted in turquoise and citrus colors. It's a place you might want to hang around for a while. If you're gay, lesbian, trans, or even LGBT-allied youth under 25, you can drop in, get a meal, a hot shower, pick up a change of clothes.
Sometimes we do like spelling bees, we hold community forums.
And if you're homeless, you can stay the night. 12 emergency bunk beds are provided by the center, and 10 are paid by LA County. They're always full.
The residential facilities that we have are open to everyone, but the majority of the people who are able to, who are access them, are trans because they're our most vulnerable.
Because, he says, transgender and gender nonconforming youth are at the greatest risk of exploitation and violence on the streets.
I am 19 years old, and my gender is that I'm trigender. Trigender is basically a gender where you fluctuate between three genders. Mine, I float in between being pangender, which is encompassing all genders, and then female, and then demi-female, which is female but having male characteristics as well.
Rachel suffered abuse from her stepdad, and when she was 12, she was placed in foster care. A note, we're using a pseudonym to protect her identity. She had a fallout with her latest foster family over her gender identity. That landed her on the streets of Long Beach. After 2 weeks, she learned about housing options with the LA LGBT Center. She scored a space in the center's long-term transitional housing, which, like its emergency shelter, is at capacity.
Sleeping in Long Beach by the Hyatt over there, I was jumped and people stole my bike. People would always try to get me to go into their cars and try, I guess, to sell me out because they took some of my friends out the same way.
By trying to sell her out, Rachel means prostitution. One in five transgender Americans has been homeless at some point. The Center for American Progress estimates up to 40% of homeless youth are trans. But there's only one temporary shelter for trans people in the U.S. That's in San Francisco. It has 20 beds, and that's not enough to meet the demand. There's a big reason why many trans women are more likely to end up on the street than trans men or cisgender men or women. If they haven't had reassignment surgery, they're forced into male-only shelter spaces, and they don't feel safe sleeping in a room with cisgender men.
Shelters will take you in regardless of your gender identity or sexual orientation, but most of the shelters will house you based on your authentic gender unless you've had surgery.
Army vet Stephanie Page has a good job at the Veterans Administration in San Francisco. Her employers are supportive of her transition, and she's able to afford a place of her own. But she says if she didn't have a friend with a sofa before she landed on her feet, she might have ended up on the street.
As a trans woman, if I went to a shelter and said, hey, I need a place to sleep, if I were able to get in, first of all, because the waiting lists are just enormous, I would be forced to house with cisgender men because I've not completed my medical transition yet. Most trans women would relate to that and would be like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll sleep in my car. I'll park, you know, at a Walmart parking lot. I'll set up my tent, you know, somewhere remote away from town, whatever it is I have to do, because I would feel safer doing that than being housed in a large room with, you know, 10 beds with nine men staring at me from all directions. You know, no thank you. I'll pass.
My name is Drion Juarez, and I am the program manager for the center's Transgender Economic Empowerment Project.
Drion helps her clients find jobs by first helping them overcome a lifetime of judgment for their gender nonconformity.
We get picked on if we were assigned male at birth, for example, for being too feminine, or if you were assigned female for being too masculine. And so then we start experiencing that discrimination early on that really can be traumatizing and can make it so that we grow up with social awkwardness, with fear of people. And that makes it difficult to go out and get a job, to go out and interview. So yes, you know, from the onset of childhood, the discrimination we experience sets us up for difficulty.
This is something that Rachel knows well.
If you were to go into the interview, you could tell because as soon as I bring that up, their faces drop, and then they stop really paying attention to what I have to say.
Depending on their circumstances, Drion's clients may need to heal from the trauma of being kicked out of their family, or from incidents of violence, or from the exhaustion of trying to fit into a society that sees gender as binary.
The system for helping people get economically empowered or stable is already stressed and very flawed. You know, there isn't a lot of funding. You have people who have huge caseloads. And so when you've put trans on top of all of that already, it seems insurmountable. And when you're talking to a case manager who's never worked with a trans person, then those cultural competency issues come into place. They start using the wrong pronoun. They use offensive language. They want to refer the trans woman, for example, to a men's shelter because in their minds, again, identity is based on genitalia. And so that's what complicates matters, that a system that's already stressed and not doing a good job, you know, when it comes to trans issues, does even worse.
I've heard this over and over. There are LGBT services like the LA LGBT Center and the Center in San Francisco, and there are general services for everyone, regardless of gender or sexual orientation, but there are very few services in the U.S. exclusively for trans and gender nonconforming people, even in San Francisco.
And I'm going to go back to San Francisco and I'm going to walk down the street and I'm going to see a lot of boys and girls, transgender boys and girls that are hungry, that are laying in sleeping bags on the sidewalk, and I don't get it.
And we're back. Today is Tuesday, September 26th. I am Lady Monte. If you become a member right now, you will be entered to win a prize. Today's drawing is for 6 pairs of main stage shows from the Portland Center Stage at the Armory. We're offering a new prize every day of the drive. Call 877-500-5266 right now to be entered for a chance to win. Go to kboo.fm for rules and restrictions. So we are talking about empowerment. We're talking about community empowerment. And we're talking about tools to take people off the street. We're talking about tools to create security in our community. We're talking about tools to create safety and long-lasting stability in people's lives. Your membership really does empower us to empower others, because without your support, we would not be able to bring you this programming, and whatever useful information is on the air would not be reaching your ears right now. KBOO speaks to issues you face every single day, but through a vast set of perspectives and voices. KBOO is full of your friends and neighbors, all asking you to join this important work. Join KBOO. Call right now, 877-500-5266. You can also go online to kboo.fm and click on the word donate. The KBOO app is also downloadable on the App Store, and there's another way that you can donate to KBOO. While you're at it, why don't you listen to some cool podcasts? Because not only is there live air broadcasting brought to you through the airwaves on 90.7 FM, but there is exclusive KBOO content on that app that you won't be able to get anywhere else. Not on YouTube, not on Pandora, not on SoundCloud. Made by KBOO producers for this community. So check it out. And while you're there, click on that donate button. We're looking for a $75 minimum dollar contribution so that we can give you a pair of tickets. Yeah, there's March 4th marching band coming to the Alberta Rose Theater on October 22nd, 2017. That's at 8 o'clock, 21 and up. Minimum contribution of $75. That's only $6.25 a month. That's, what is that? That's a fancy coffee. What? That's amazing. So get a pair of tickets and go to the show, enjoy yourself, have lots and lots and lots of fun, and have even more fun knowing that you will be supporting KBOO, bring you more tickets, more programming that has been empowering you and empowering others for almost 50 years. Again, that number is 877-500-5266. You can also go online to kboo.fm and click on the word donate. Listener support is what keeps us going and what allows us to try new things. If you support continued innovation at KBOO, call or go online, 877-500-5266 or kboo.fm and click on the word donate.
Partners who donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Musubi, located 2134 Southeast Division Street, Portland's takeout spot for Hawaiian sushi rice snacks, filled with house-made spam and other delicacies. Dinner was provided by Santa Fe Taqueria, located 831 Northwest 23rd Avenue in Portland, serving the taste and flavors of Santa Fe derived from Puebla, Mexico. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is now 6:58. In lieu of Hard Knock Radio today, we'll be playing a special program for you on prison culture.
Good evening, you're listening to KBOO Portland. Good evening, you're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, and I'm one of your hosts for a special program tonight on the unique challenges that young men face transitioning out of long-term detention, and on one very unique win that my guests are going to talk with you tonight about. I'm going to start off just by introducing ourselves. I'm Carlos Chavez. My co-host is who are you?
I'm Kevin Lay.
And we've got Abel Maduhano with us and Brandon Dixon with us. Just so you know kind of what our kind of relationship is, these are young guys that I've known for a little bit of time now. Abel was a student of mine back in the day at McLaren Youth Corrections, and Brandon was for a short period of time as well. And I run youth programming within youth corrections at McLaren and at Multnomah County Juvenile. And we're going to kind of talk about just transitions. You know what I mean? Like what are the situations like when folks are getting out of being.